Welcome to Slug's bi-weekly Slug Soundwaves podcast. Here, in our print mag and on slugmag.com, enjoy our curated content that highlights the best of Utah's alternative and underrepresented music, arts, events, and community subcultures. If Slug has benefited you or someone you love, consider contributing to sustain our existence. Head to slugmag.com/donate to join our community of donors.
This June, rise with us for Pride Elevated at Utah Pride 2026. Join us June 3rd through the 7th for 5 days of celebration, community, and unforgettable Pride events all weekend long. Kick off the weekend at our first ever opening night party on Friday, June 5th, featuring DJs, dancing, and an all-night celebration you won't want to miss. Then on Saturday, June 6th, join the Pride rally and march at the Utah State Capitol at 10 a.m., followed by day one of the Utah Pride Festival, featuring our new youth zone and Saturday night youth dance. On Sunday, June 7th, don't miss the free Utah Pride Parade at 10 a.m., plus Festival Day 2 starting at noon. Every ticket supports the year-round work of the Utah Pride Center. Celebrate louder, rise higher.
KRCL was founded in 1979 to bring a more diverse voice to Salt Lake City and surrounding areas. KRCL is community funded and supported, which allows diverse commercial free programming that varies from indie to hip hop, blues to bluegrass, metal, punk, indigenous, and bilingual programs. Every weekday at 6 p.m., KRCL's Radioactive brings you grassroots activism and civic engagement with punk rock farming and live local music on Fridays. Tune in to KRCL at 90.9 FM. Stream at krcl.org or download the app on the App Store.
Shh! Are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves.
Hi, I'm Dallin Major. I do vocals and play guitar.
I'm Levi Wunderlich. I play bass and do background vocals.
I'm Christopher Burt, and I play drums.
And I am Matthew Gonzalez, and I also play guitar.
And we are Atlas Slave.
Our sound is very much a Frankenstein of sorts, but at its core, it is moody, it is rock-filled, it is beautiful, and fair amount of groove, I would say.
Yeah, we like to describe our music with four adjectives usually. It's pretty, moody, heavy, groovy. And if you say it fast, it sounds like pretty, moody, heavy, booty. But that's not at all what it is. It's pretty moody, heavy, groovy.
So we're really attracted to making music, and specifically this kind of music. We're trying to like find a sound that the four of us as individuals really dig, that we can also sort of put out into the world in a way that they will dig it. So we have tons of influences individually and as a band. There's just like way too much to even try to boil into one project, but we try to sort of average that out and make a cool like composite of all of our influences that actually works as a project.
I mean, I'll just say I grew up listening to rock. That was I can genuinely say that was probably my first love, and so, or my first like exposure really to music. So it feels very like at home to be doing something within this style. Like as Chris said, like we've had, you know, experience in a lot of different musical settings, but it's nice to kind of focus in and try to dial in this sound that feels familiar, but is pushing the boundaries of something new and hasn't been done yet.
I can say, at least for me on a personal note, creating music generally is an act of freedom for me. It feels very liberating. That's what has drawn me to the artists that have influenced me over the years. It's just, I just remember at a young age listening to guitar players or to singers and just thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I can only imagine how that must feel to be able to do that, to be able to sing that way, to be able to play guitar that way, to be able to perform that way. And so being able to write, the four of us, that's the thing that I enjoy the most. It feels very cathartic when we kind of come up with these moments musically. It's just exciting, and it just is liberating. That's the feeling that I get. Yes, it's all those things. It's a very collaborative experience. We have a term that we use called a song seed. And usually the beginning of a song will be a song seed. And a song seed is when somebody brings something to the band, and maybe it's a riff, maybe it's a full chorus with a melody, maybe it's an idea. But it's basically the whole idea is they bring something that as a band, if we nourish it, it will then turn into a song. And that can be at different levels. And many of our songs we can look at and say, oh, this was a riff or a beautiful guitar part that Matt brought. Or we have a song that it was a full-on chorus and bass riff that Levi had brought. It's funny, we've got this one of the greatest drummers around, who's also one of the greatest guitar riff writers around. We've got this song that we'll be releasing later this year, which has the most incredible guitar riff that was written by him, and that was his seed. So it's just at various different levels, but ultimately massive collaboration. Because we'll come together and be like, oh, great, sweet, now we need a verse section, and so we'll all just start jamming on that and come up with something, and as the singer I'll usually top line something until we find something that feels right, and then we'll all write lyrics.
Yeah.
Which is also an interesting process, because usually whoever did the seed, it's kind of like an unwritten rule, they'll usually be the one who will write the first draft of the lyrics. And then we all then come together and refine it, which is a very rewarding process. It's very hard, at least to have four people write lyrics from scratch. But four people refining lyrics is like really, really helpful. Mm. We've had great success doing it that way.
Yeah, I think on the album, because we're releasing an album this year, one song at a time. And we pretty much finalized all the lyrics on like five of the six songs in one session, and it turned out great. Yeah. So really, really interesting collaborative nature of the band. Like, and that's that. When someone brings a seed too, it's like the whole song essentially gets written from that point on with everyone there. It's pretty rare that someone then takes everything else back home and then works on it some more, that brings back a new version. Like, once someone brings a seed, it's collaborative till the end, which is really exciting. And everyone's always like throwing out ideas or doing this, and to the point too where like sometimes we're in a healthy way, you know, arguing over like, well, I think it should go like this, well, I think it should go like this, this is more powerful, this is more influential. It's like, but over the arc of the song, like we get and arrive at this emotion because of this, which is really exciting, because we're all I think it just shows that we're all very passionate about it too, and have really good opinions and viewpoints on songwriting in general. And so to be able to do that with in this group is just wonderful.
The reason we kind of came together is because, I'll just start with my story. I have been a freelance musician here in the Salt Lake area for about 7 or 8 years. And I was feeling like it needed a change because I needed more original music. The creativity is important to me. I was just backing a lot of people, which is also super fun for me, but it wasn't enough. So, long story short, I basically took an opportunity to go and do a master's degree in jazz at New England Conservatory in Boston, which was a really good experience, but I ended up realizing while I was there that it was not for me because I don't want to be a professor. And that's kind of why you get a graduate degree in music. So as hard as it was, and as much, you know, money and resources as I lost by making this huge move across the country, I realized this, what I actually need to do is pursue original music hard. And so as I figured out where to move after that, I was like, you know what, my whole network is in Utah. Always wanted to make music with Dallin. And so I reached out to Dallin and said, hey, dude, let's make a kick-ass band. Let's just like make the world's best band, you know? And I was like, let me down, you know, cause I'm going to like move back to Utah for this, you know? And so Dallin was so down, and we figured out kind of what we wanted to do. And then we're like, who do we get to fill out this band? And the first person we thought of together was Matt Gonzalez. And so he's the man. And then we had to figure out bass players, and, we had a few, and they were so good, and we were so grateful for them for contributing what they did, but for various reasons it just didn't work out, and we were so happy when we finally got Levi, because he totally like it was the Ringo to our Beatles situation, you know, like we couldn't take off until we had the fourth member, you know.
Well, and if I might add, it was such an interesting process too, because the big through line for each of the members and who we added, well, and one of the big reasons, at least on my end, why I wanted and agreed to start a band with Chris was, you know, because Chris was coming through every few weeks through Utah, and we would have lunch and talk about music and talk about our aspirations. And we both just had this similar hunger. We were both so hungry to just not only create something, but, and create amazing music, but also create a band that we could see playing in front of 10,000 people in, you know, and that was like a big thing for us, and also like talked a lot of discussions on what that would take, because anybody who is familiar with the music scene, I think a lot of people outside of music kind of have the assumption that if you're talented, then things will just align for you and you'll make it. And anybody who's close in the scene, I think knows that that's just not true, sadly. There's so many talented people who I think have the ability to, if the given the right resources, could sell out stadiums. But there really is a business aspect to being a band, and promoting yourself, that we just knew needed to be in place. So when we did look for other members, we had that in mind of kind of building out a business, or at least a team that could really make something happen. And we just wanted people who were hungry hungry for more, hungry to really work and give their time. And we were fortunate enough to find them. And a lot of those, of what everybody has brought to the table, we didn't even really know until months after even forming the group and being a band. Just everybody contributes in massive ways and have so many talents beyond just their extraordinary ability to play music and write music.
Yeah, for example, Dallin builds websites. I can handle finances and business emails and all those kinds of things. Matt edits videos, and Levi is a music producer. And I have a little bit of that ability as well, but Levi is kind of the leader on that. So we didn't even know, like, we hired singer, guitarist, drummer, guitarist, bass player, but all these other things came along with that. It was really helpful. You crossed the line. You became a goddess in my eyes. Holding up a blade to count your beauty shines in silver.
Come hold it to my throat. I love creating in the moment. My favorite thing about playing live is I kind of have a philosophy, and I think a lot of us share it. We've talked about it many times. So it is kind of baked into the band, I think, a little bit. But it's the 80-20 rule for live performance, which is I like 80% of it to be known and written and expected, but to leave 20% to the moment. That is just my favorite thing, because there's just, it means every single time we play, there's things that happen only once ever. And it's just like in those moments when you're feeling it. And it's like every person in the crowd contributed to that in some way, because of just like they created a feeling on stage that somebody grabbed hold of and did something miraculous. I love it. Like, studio's great because you get to create something that'll last forever. But I love the fleeting, once in a lifetime nature of like a great live performance.
I feel like I'm a little more sixes, but you made a super valid point. Like,
oh, it's totally preference.
Yeah, there's something definitely magical about being in that creative space with others and basically coming up with things, you know, coming up with something that you ultimately couldn't have gotten to by yourself. And so I think that process is very exhilarating. But I think live playing definitely has a unique charm in that it's only in the present. And when that's over, it's gone. And so there is something magical about that too.
The ephemeral nature, I think, is the word, right?
Ephemeral.
What's your favorite?
Well, I'm probably kind of right between you and Levi, because mine is, yeah, that ephemeral thing, the live thing that you can only get once. I love that, and I live for that. And as a jazz musician, you know, that's my background. That, you know, that's very important because you've got improvisation as well. But I, as a like wannabe music producer, you know, kind of like Levi, but he's way further along than I am. I am starting to just really love the recording process, and I'm super intrigued by that as well. So it would be hard to say one or the other.
It's all great.
I like playing shows more.
Straight up.
I think studio technology stresses me out. And I just like knowing that I can turn my guitar on and then just make music.
Valid.
So if I can think about less things, I'm happier. Studio's great too, obviously. It's fun, but it's, you know, it's a different game. But
I also realized, I had a realization as you were talking, I think I know another aspect, at least for me. When I hear recordings of myself, my ear goes right to the mistakes or the things that are weird to me. That doesn't happen in the moment live. In fact, my memories of a live performance are probably way better than the reality of it. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, whoa, that felt like so great. And so I think there's that element too. And then there is also a third element is I have no skills in the recording, you know, area. I feel like I would enjoy it more if I...
That's if you know how to operate like a dog.
Yeah. Yeah. If I was if I was good at it, I'd like it. Yeah. Maybe that's just it.
That's what I love though about recording though too, is how brutally honest it can feel sometimes.
Totally.
And it's such a good teacher of where you are at and how you can then try to be better going forward too. So they're both great.
We're just glad we have Levi for that perspective.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know.
A very grounded, smart, and level-headed.
No.
Level-headed. Perfect.
Perfect response.
They call me level-headed Levi. Yeah.
That's what the L stands for.
I know level-headed Levi. We're like a new band. Like we literally just started last summer and things have been moving fast for us. We got in the studio in November. At that point, I mean, we had finished many songs actually. And then we narrowed it down to six. We recorded six. And then we also needed money to finish recording the album because we tracked everything at June, but then we, you know, needed to finish everything. So we ran like a crowdfunding campaign and got enough to help us finish recording the rest of the album throughout the year. So we've been essentially finishing one song at a time, trying to release every 6 weeks. And so, yeah, we released Color and Gray back in March. This next song is coming out May 29th. It's called Last Night. And our third song is already pretty much finished. And that one should be coming out 6 weeks after this next one. So, and then we're just rolling them out from there and going. We've only played one show at the Velour, but now we're playing at Forkfest with Neon Trees, and we're super stoked to be friggin' crushing it. So,
yeah. And the other thing about this EP, we've planned it to be six songs, but which is, I guess, sort of halfway between an EP and an album, you could say. But I don't think we have any plans of stopping. I mean, we're just going to keep writing and recording songs, you know? So it's going to be happening the whole time.
It's interesting. These six that we initially wrote, cause when we formed this band and started writing, we talked about maybe picking a genre and ended up settling on not, and just kind of seeing what ends up being created. And so it's really interesting. There's a fair bit of variety, though a heavy through line of rock. But, you know, we've got some that's, I mean, we've got a song that's you could classify as 80s hair metal. And we've got one, like our first one, a lot of people think reminds them of Muse. And then we got others that are kind of more in the direction that I think we're heading, which is that pretty, moody, heavy, groovy.
Heavy boobies.
Oh my God.
To say it once.
Yeah. impulsive thoughts. Yeah, classic.
Intrusive,
that's the word. So yeah, there's a fair bit of variety, but it's been interesting as we've been kind of writing and finishing up recording these songs. It's we've kind of started to settle into what we think is a very unique sound. It's very hard to pick a genre. That's why we've kind of used this little term, because there's just a lot of beauty. It's got heavy moments. I know we really think that people will love it because we love it. We like good music, and what we've written is something that we're truly excited about. And it may take people some time to really train their ear to it. And I think all great music has had that period for people to really, you know, because if you can't categorize it, sometimes it's scary for people for some reason.
Well, Levi was talking about that very fact the other day, and it was just like a sort of an epiphany for me. He was like, yeah, all like, think of your favorite bands and artists in general, like they're kind of their own genre, especially at the beginning. And then the imitators follow. But that I honestly, like, we're not trying to be like a local only like band, you know, like we're going for it, you know? So it's like, hopefully we establish our genre, you know?
Yeah.
And then that's our thing, you know?
And I mean, I'd still say we're in a phase of self-discovery. Everything that's been written this far has been great. And I think we're all proud of how this EP has turned out, but very much still in a phase of like trying to refine and grow and create, kind of mold the thing that we're seeking.
Well said.
Well said. It would come from Levi.
No! It's that level-headedness, damn it.
Wow.
Well, Color and Gray is awesome. This was, you know, it's interesting picking a first song to release because it's got to be strong. And that was one that I think it was very quick, easy to agree upon.
Unanimously.
Yeah, no, yeah. Seriously. We were like, oh, well, what should be our first release? And I don't remember who first proposed it, but I just remember everybody being like, oh, yeah, totally. Because it's fast paced. It's interesting. It's cool. It's got one of the greatest guitar breakdowns ever. It's got one of the coolest bass riffs ever. It's got a killer melody. And also it's so good because freaking Levi is a genius, and that was his seed that he'd brought. The chorus melodically and harmonically goes in so many cool directions while still maintaining the most important element, which is it being a hook and ear candy. I just love it when music can do that. It can still have complexity, but yet people who aren't familiar with music wouldn't even notice because it doesn't sound strange or off. It sounds natural, and it's such a good song, and everybody needs to listen to it right now. You are about to hear Color and Gray from our upcoming EP in its entirety. We'll be right back. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on TikTok. On usually it's Atlas Slave Band. Though it could be Atlas Slave sometimes, right? Atlas Slave Band is...
On Instagram and TikTok, at least, it's Atlas Slave Band.
That's right. Atlas Slave Band on TikTok and Instagram. You can also visit our website, atlasslave.com. And you can also listen to our first single and all of our upcoming releases wherever music is listened to or wherever you want to listen to music. Also, please come and see us play at Forkfest this year on June 13th. We are playing on the same bill as Neon Trees and Joshua James and a bunch of other incredible local artists. It's a great day of fun, so please come.
You can use, we have a discount code as well. So if you're going to get tickets to go see Neon Trees, which is already probably going to be your cheapest way to ever see that band, just use our discount code, which is Atlas. Just use that at checkout and it'll be cheaper for you and it helps us out. And we're all happy.
If you enjoyed this episode of Soundwaves, please take 60 seconds to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
This episode was produced and edited by me, Nate McQuivy, and promoted by the Slug Magazine editorial staff. Be sure to check out this month's issue of Slug. You can find a copy anyplace cool or at slugmag.com.
Did you enjoy this episode of Slug Soundwaves? You and the local community can continue to enjoy Slug Mag's content for free, but please consider making a one-time or ongoing contribution. Each contribution, no matter the amount, helps support Slug's creation of thoughtful media coverage on SLC's music, arts, events, and community subcultures. Head over to slugmag.com/donate to make your contribution today.